You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
This FPL season has definitely been go, go, go. A nonstop hustle all the time. Matches, deadlines, unexpected blank and double game weeks, on top of everything the real world has had in store. Sometimes you need a moment to turn off and hit reset. That's when you reach for Coors Light. It's made to chill. For me personally, supporting Fulham during this last year has been a true roller coaster ride. Honestly, when that Adama Traore goal flew past Areola in the 92nd minute of game week 31, the only thing that saved my mental state, the only thing that calmed my nerves, was cracking open a Coors Light. There's only one beer out there that's literally made to chill, and that's Coors Light. The mountains on the bottles and cans even turn blue when your beer is cold. That way, you always know when it's time to chill. When you need to hit reset, just open a Coors Light. It's mountain cold refreshment made to chill. And listen, everyone, summer is pretty much here. It's about to get hot in New York. An ice-cold Coors Light is such a perfect way for me to beat that summertime heat. Coors Light is the one I choose when I need to unwind. So when you want to hit reset, reach for the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light and the new look delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado. And as always, celebrate.
Hello and welcome to the Always Cheating Fantasy Premier League podcast. My name is Josh, and I'm here today with a very special co-host. It is a man who I once kicked out of my own home 4 years ago or thereabouts. Trevor, how are you?
I'm good, Josh. Thrilled to be here recording as a guest on the Always Cheating podcast in the very room you kicked me out of, my bedroom, my old bedroom.
You used to have a Boston Red Sox, where there is now a crib right next to us. There was once a Boston Red Sox mattress spread across the... That your wife, who is a little, like, she's fairly tall, I would say, right? Yeah. And somehow you convinced your now wife, then girlfriend, to sleep in that Boston Red Sox... The race car bed, as we used to call it.
Yes, it was encouraged snuggling, as I like to say. It's a solid move. It's a good move.
And we invented the always cheating sort of moniker, too, didn't we?
Because, we did, yeah.
We sort of became soccer pals, you know, the same when we were roommates together several, you know, 6-7 years ago. And we would go to Google and we would read old English soccer chants.
Yeah, this is when we were deciding what Premier League teams we were going to support at the same time. We decided we were going to get into it.
As an American, you have to make a conscious choice. You know, it's if you're an older, I have a lot of friends who have been you know soccer fans in the U.S. for a long time, and for many of them, they're Man U fans because, as my friend James explained, when you grew up in the U.K. or when you grew up in the U.S. watching soccer matches in the U.K., the only matches they would show in the 90s were Man U. United matches. So there's this huge group of United States fans who are Man U fans because that was kind of the only game in town, you know, during the Beckham, you know, Fergie days and all that stuff. But you and I just picked two teams.
Yeah, there were many long nights like showing each other like team chants.
Exactly. I thought I was going to be a Newcastle fan at first. This is back when, Andy Carroll was on Newcastle. So it's about
I still feel like deep down you'd still root for them.
I harbor some sort of... The problem is I like Newcastle and Sunderland. I could never pick between
the
two.
You love their fans, I feel like, is your what holds you back.
It's just the northern fan. I grew up in Michigan, so, you know, there it's cold. It's very much like northern England.
you're in Midland at heart.
Yeah, and you're from Vegas, so that's why you support Brighton and Hove Albion from weather clubs. All right, so Brandon, wow, I have them right away.
Whoa, whoever had the over under of like 2 minutes.
This is like when you start. Yeah. It's like when you start dating somebody on the rebound, you know. All right, so we just finished game week one. It's pretty interesting game week. Couldn't really sleep the night before, which I thought was going to happen. I finished on a respectable 57 points for game week one. Not a point total that I'm thrilled with. I made a bit of a gamble. It was kind of a, you know, Friday night tinkering. I reordered my team a little bit. I dropped Andre Gray from Burnley, who kind of everybody was talking about, sort of the de facto 6.5 million forward. And I went for this really expensive forward line of Vardy, Aguero, and Ibrahimovic, which is not something I would typically do or advise, but I thought it was worth the gamble just because...
Put it all out there.
Yeah, exactly. I didn't know that Vardy was going to miss about 18 chances in that match, including an actual whiff. Like, he actually... he almost felt like Charlie Brown. He whiffed the ball so much.
Is that the one he punched himself in the face?
That was later. There was a lot, you know you're not having a great start to your fantasy season when Vardy's punching himself in the face. You know, 57, not great. You know, but the part of the gamble was I was going to go without Eden Hazard in my midfield. And for the first half of today's match, I was like, okay, that's, you know, like, it's worked out fine. It's, you know, Eden Hazard's going to pick up 2 or 3 points and I'll move on with my life. Bam, penalty. Like, 2 minutes into the second half of this match. But they finished at 10, which is a lot, but not devastating, I think.
Yeah, I agree. Your 57 was one better than myself, and lo and behold, you and I were pitted against each other in the head-to-head.
The Showstoppers League.
Yeah, the Showstoppers League. So, curse you. Damn you. So, I had a decent week. Captain Aguero, Ibrahimovic was...
We both went for the expensive forward line.
I did keep Andre Gray, which I'm happy with, just because, like, theoretically, my defense and midfield is lined up pretty good for the season, I feel like.
We both commented. He looked a little heavy yesterday, didn't he?
Yeah, he did.
A little beefy.
Does he have a man's body?
He has a man's body. He's thickly built, as they say. As someone who's also thickly built, I have no problem with this. But it was a little surprising. Maybe because, you know, Andre Gray was one of those people who we all kind of jumped in the bandwagon. Now, granted, I don't want to make this sound like Andre Gray is a total flop. It's just 1 week, you know.
And he had a couple chances. He didn't look terrible.
Didn't look terrible. But none of us had ever seen this guy before. You know, all I'd seen was the picture of his avatar. I wasn't watching Burnley preseason. Can you even do that in the United States? Can you do that in the UK? I don't know where you'd watch them. So we're just kind of guessing based on last year and all these goals he was scoring against, you know, Tranmere Rovers or whatever.
Well, but to what you were saying earlier, like, if you're going for the heavy hitter, if you have Vardy, you literally are taking away your midfield. Like,
yeah, exactly.
So, like, Andre Gray... There's going to be an Andre Gray you're going to have on your front line if you're going to have any sort of midfield or defense. And
the only shame of it was that there were a number of forwards who you could have had who actually were pretty, like, Negredo scored. And you know, Llorente picked up an assist. Andy Carroll didn't pick up any points. He was kind of the other one that people were talking about. But that's a pretty tough match away to Chelsea. So, you know, maybe can't read too much into that one yet.
But yeah, overall, happy with my first game week. I said at last minute to get some Leicester coverage to the so-called Hull City dumpster fire.
Right.
So I got Mahrez, which ended up working out to your chagrin, which...
I couldn't believe it.
Mahrez walking up to take that penalty.
I couldn't believe it. When there was a penalty, like in the first 45 seconds of that match, I was so excited.
Two midfielders that are kind of cost a lot, kind of saved by a penalty. Like,
Hazard
getting that penalty, like, was he going to score that match? It didn't look like it.
And it wasn't clear that Hazard was on penalties going into this match.
Now,
of course, he's 10 million, so it's hard to bring it. So it's kind of like, if you brought him in, you're feeling pretty good right now. If you didn't, you're like,
he's also 10 million now, but like, how many people were holding to see how he did? And now they might try to jump on a bandwagon for him.
Exactly.
And he's back.
And I wouldn't be surprised to see him at like 10.2 million before the start of the next game week. What do you think about the new site so far?
I like. The new app, I hate.
Okay. So what do you like about the site?
The site, I do love that it's more mobile optimized and it basically functions way better than the app did last year. And the app this year, just like, it's too much. Like, there's too much fantasy. Like, the fantasy site is the fantasy site.
What are all these other tabs?
Everything.
These pointless tabs. So because the fantasy site had all the information you wanted. It had the fixtures and stuff like that.
Right, exactly.
I'm not buying tickets through the app.
You know? Yeah.
I don't mind the purple and green. I'm okay with those colors. I don't know how I feel about it. I don't know if this is true in the UK. In the US, when they show highlights now, there's like a lion that like comes out of the screen at you.
Yeah, we were joking when we were watching a game over the weekend together, and it was like the Batman from the 70s, like the screen transition.
It was very, it was like the
It just needed to spin when it came, like, came at you.
It's like a little cheesy, you know? That's what I thought. It was like a little too like something, and it was like too clever by half or something like that.
It's almost like they're trying to emphasize that they're not the Barclays Premier League anymore. Yeah, it's just Premier League.
I guess so. Yeah, I noticed there was a new hashtag on Twitter too. It says hashtag PL. Like, that's pretty confident, right?
Yeah.
Two-letter hashtag. Does anything have the two letters? I can't think
I can't think of a single.
Even like the Kardashians don't have a two-letter hashtag. That's pretty bold. Jay-Z doesn't have a two-letter hashtag. So before we get into the Hail Cheater Super League, we're going to do a quick recap of the top 10. We do have a couple of questions here. Brandon, who's away in Edinburgh this week, says, who is average? And should I be proud that he or she is the only manager I beat this game week? Now, you know, he had an okay. Brandon had finished on 54 points. So I feel like it's pretty tightly clustered right now is based on what I'm seeing. I mean, I think you and I are 1 point separated, and there was like a 60,000 space drop that you did. So, you know, it's, I feel like as long as you're in the top 500,000 after the first game week, you're fine.
Well, my question is, did Brandon just suddenly go to Scotland to hide his shame?
I know.
After losing this first head-to-head to you in the 50-buck cup?
It's this one win is almost more than I had all of last season, so I'm really gonna bank this one.
Well, especially if you combine it with the streak you were on towards the end of the season. He hasn't won, and like he doesn't know what it feels like to win against you lately.
Since like March, maybe.
Yeah.
I know,
yeah.
I know. We need to get all of this in right now, by the way, before he's back. Chris Bauerbank says, how long until Brandon is released from Always Cheating due to the arrival of Trevor? There must be concerns in the locker room. Will Brandon put in a transfer request? Other podcasts are lurking, considering bids. Now, this is all fair. I mean, the podcast transfer window closes August 30th, just like the Premier League season. You know, a lot of other podcasts out there. Now, Brandon, you know, he may link up with the Gaffer Tapes while he's there, you know, come back. Scoutcast, you know, who knows? It's hard to tell. So, Brandon, we hope you are listening, and actually, I don't care if he's listening or not. It doesn't matter.
I was going to say, I think of myself as the Victor Moses of the podcast. Like, I've been loaned out to a bunch of other podcasts, and like, this is just my first time actually playing for the one, team.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly. You're going to give it, you got your 20-minute run out, you know.
Yeah, we'll exactly. Yeah, I'm in the shop window.
So we're going to run through the Hail Cheater Super League, and then we're going to jump right into several key topics. These are all just you know, trends, things that we want to talk about after the first game week. We're going to answer some listener questions, and then that's it. So theoretically, this should take us about 20 minutes.
Yeah,
I think it'll take us about an hour and a half. 20 minutes in theory. So Hail Cheaters Super League is back. I did not as well as I was hoping for the first week in the Hail Cheaters Super League. Now, we have kind of a massive league this year. So I finished... I'm in 438th spot after the first game week on 57 points. That puts me, I think, right about in the middle. We've got about 850 people in the league right now, so I'll take that,
yeah.
I guess.
You know? Game week one, it's, you're going to have...
You can't worry too much about your ranking in game week one, exactly. Like it's not a complete disaster. I'm actually thinking about not even playing a transfer this game week. The question is whether.
Ooh, interesting.
Yeah, I'd love to bank two, and then I could turn one of those transfers into Eden Hazard in game week three.
Yeah,
I was actually just really tempted looking
at my team before we started, thinking
that might be two transfers.
So yeah. I need to wait. Yeah,
you know, and Vardy at home. We're going to get into this in a minute, but you know, Vardy at home to Arsenal, it's actually a terrible matchup for Arsenal because, you know, Leicester, kind of a humiliating loss away to Hull City. They're going to be raring to go. They're at home. First home match, you know, since they won the league, or in this new season, you know, once they won the league. Arsenal have, you know, a couple of, I mean, it's like a team, you know, I think by next week, Laurent Koscielny will be back in, but there's going to be at least one 20-year-old center back, and you know, all of the other players are just getting to form. I doubt that Mesut Ozil can play a full 90 right now, and Alexis Sanchez doesn't look very good. So, I mean, Leicester could absolutely score two or three goals in that match. So it's kind of tempting just to hold on to Vardy for one more week.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I mean, you got that powerful front line. You might as well put
yeah,
to use.
Let me make the most of my 65 million frontline while I've got it. So we have a top 10, though. It's actually, we have a tie for 10th. In first place is Nick Foster's Lads on Torre with 86 points. Second place is PK Blinders FC. Philip Green. I like William Sutton's Ha is in third place. Now, William Sutton, we saw a little bit in the top 10 last year, so impressive.
Like, return to form.
Return to form right after
the gate.
Lanchester United, Peter Linkowski is in third place. That's actually a... I'm looking now. I realize I should have started this way, but there's a 7-way tie for third. So if I say your name on the way down here, just to, know that you're appreciated. Know that you finished in the bronze this week. The Lemon Party, Lars Johansson, Wijnaldum, Leviosa, Taylor Andrews, Celtic, I think. Someone was teasing me on Reddit about me saying Celtic the wrong way. I thought he was serious. And so now I'm really self-conscious about how I say Celtic. So let's assume it's Celtic. Celtic Crows, Zach Zathros is also in third. The Burnage Roadman, Ross Jenkinson in third. No Regrets by Matthew Jones, also in third. And Macaulay Maybe and Fleetwood Fat Stacks, Vincent P. and Dylan Tenty are tied for 10th place. So
Wijnaldum Leviosa might be up there with one of my favorite team names I've ever seen.
That's not bad.
Well done, Taylor.
What is that a reference to?
Harry Potter.
Oh, Harry Potter. Yeah. Okay. I thought it was maybe like a Furiosa, like a Mad Max thing.
Oh, but that's also...
So we'll see if these guys are here. We'll give a lot more attention to the top 10 as the season goes on.
Yeah, enjoy your time up there now.
Yeah.
Josh and I are coming for you.
Well, let's take a quick look at Nick Foster's team. Just 86 points, first place. Puts him pretty high overall. He's 529th in the world right now. And he has Ben Foster in goal, which you had too, actually. That was the big difference. And I'm kind of regretting now. I had a Foster Jakubovic defensive line, and then or goalkeeper line, and then I decided at the last minute, no, I want a little more balance in my goalkeepers. I want Foster and Tom Heaton. And so I played Heaton. Figured Heaton at home, no Sigurdsson, no IU, no Ashley Williams, should be a pretty easy fixture for Burnley. And it was until like the 80th minute. Leroy Furr, of all people, scoring a late goal. So he's got Foster, Stones, who I also have. Kyle Walker picked up 6 points from him with the assist and the rare six-pointer for a defender that doesn't involve
a clean sheet.
Friend, who a lot of people have. Friend sort of became the de facto Middlesbrough defender for whatever reason.
He's everybody's friend.
It's like I think it's just you log in, you're like, what's the highest ownership percentage for Middlesbrough? Yeah. Okay, that's fine.
Yeah.
I don't know how many people were actually watching championship games enough last year to know that Friend was the one you wanted. And then Mahrez, Hazard, Redmond, Lamela. I mean,
that's an insane beautiful midfield. I mean, his midfield is everything I want because I have the same exact front line as him.
Ibrahimovic, Aguero, and Gray. So excellent start for him.
He even had 15 bench or 18 bench points on top of this.
Insane. Macaulay, his last defender. Yeah, I think we all maybe slept on the West Brom defense a little bit.
Yeah.
I didn't want to admit it, but maybe it's true. I mean, I do have Foster, but I doubled up with Johnny Evans and Foster, and then kind of at the last minute, I mean, it's amazing. I think every tinkering that I did after 10 p.m. on Friday night was a bad move, which is always true, right? You got to just make your move on Friday and stick with it. Isle of Nabumbu on Twitter said, admit it, guys, the West Brom defense is going to become essential. I don't know if I'm quite ready to go that far, but they have some excellent fixtures coming up. You were just looking at them a moment ago.
Yeah, they do. They have, Everton, still jury's out on that offense, but Middlesbrough, Bournemouth, West Ham, I feel like they can... There's
even
a couple
Stoke and
sheets,
Sunderland. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you really could have gotten away with having Ben Foster for the first 7 weeks. And
right.
And if, I would like to think that I can go 7 weeks without wild carding. I don't know if I have that kind of self-control, it's possible. I'm really hoping this year.
I feel like too, West Brom at the end of last season couldn't hold a clean sheet really to save their life. But I think that's because they were safe and they were going for a more of offensive minded game.
That is true. Yeah.
Yeah, they just seemed a little more positive. Like, that's when Rondon, like, started to come out, like,
apparently he's slimmed down a little bit, too, and...
Yeah.
He's kind of...
We'll get to him maybe a little later.
We'll get to him in a minute, but he's an interesting... At $6.5 million, with these fixtures coming up, he's an interesting option. I just think... I mean, we've joked on the podcast so often about how unsexy that West Brom team is, but I wonder sometimes if there's a bias that factors in there that really, you know, we'll get to Eric Lamela in a second here too, but you know, I just have a thing against Lamela for some reason. I don't like him. I don't like his look. I don't like his hair. You know, it's all these things that you can't bring the biases to the table.
As you mentioned on Twitter, I am a Spurs fan, and yeah. I have lots of opinions about Lamela.
Were you thinking about Lamela at any point?
I was not until Brandon had mentioned him as a possibility, just looking at his preseason, and he has matured. It seems like my issue with Lamela is more of from a supporter standpoint, okay, where he like costs so much
right
damn money that like I just feel like he hasn't been worth it.
Yeah, because he was sort of originally brought in as the Gareth Bale replacement way back in the day.
Yeah,
3-4 years ago.
Yeah, him and like 10 other players.
Right. Yeah, it's kind of him and Eriksen, right?
Yeah.
Two. Yeah,
and it's just like his returns aren't terrible.
Better the second half of last season.
Yeah, like, and I feel like he fits into the Pochettino system nicely, but my main issue with him is that he's a yellow card waiting to happen.
Okay, gotcha.
He just goes into he's so bought into the Pochettino system where he's like trying to get the ball back,
right,
that he goes into all of these challenges so hard.
It's kind of this total football style.
Yeah, it worries every time he goes into a tackle. I'm just like, oh, here it is. Here's the next yellow card.
Yeah,
And not even from a fantasy perspective, but just from like, I want him on the pitch.
Yeah, yeah.
And
Dele Alli I don't know if Dele Alli had quite the same. I feel like Dele Alli is just a little more naturally aggressive. But,
yeah,
I mean, that late red card for him. And
yeah.
But I guess, you know, part of that is that they all need to do defensive work on that team.
So, no, yeah. I think, it's just part of the style they play.
Yeah.
But I do think he's starting to mature into his role a little more. So I think that's where he could start to be dangerous.
He's still pretty young, I think, too.
No,
I
mean,
he's 24 crazy, maybe, yeah, something like that.
Well, and he, while he was at the Copa America, he did not play in the Copa America. He rode the bench for Argentina most of the time, so he's pretty fresh.
Pretty fresh.
He is compared to a lot of people in the.
Yeah, so he's okay. You know, like he's like, there was still some room for him to grow, and maybe we finally are seeing it this year. So that actually let's actually go right into the key topics, which are topic number one: emerging mid-tier midfielders. And let's start right with Lamela. Scott Gill on Twitter said, is Lamela this year's Mahrez? Now, I feel like I don't want to say this a million times in the podcast, so let's just say it now. And it applies to so many questions on here, which is that it's way too early to tell.
Yeah.
You know, one week into the season, it's possible now. But 7 million midfielder going into a great run of fixtures coming up for Spurs. I mean, I think they play... they played Crystal. So they have 3 home matches in the next 4. Those home matches are Crystal Palace, Liverpool, and Liverpool, despite being a pretty good team, is not a team that you should ever be scared to play your attackers against.
Yeah, no, they are gonna. They might break a record for how many goals they're gonna give up this year.
And then away to Stoke, which is also not a particularly scary fixture, and then home to Sunderland. And home to Sunderland in Game Week 5 is the kind of fixture you probably want to double up. I brought in Dele Alli, and I was a little disappointed with him in this match. I don't know what you thought about Alli in this game. I thought he was a little absent, it just wasn't really part of the attack. I thought Lamela was a bigger factor.
On the Transfer Hub site, somebody had linked to an article about, when they brought in Jansen and played him more forward and brought Dele Alli back, that's when they started to they started to flow a little bit better.
It's a little worrisome.
Which is worrisome, but I also think it's just, how Crystal Palace set up against them. You can't... It was on the road.
Yeah.
Oh, Everton, sorry,
yeah.
It was on the road to Everton. I do think some of that aspect's come into play.
Everton, way to Goodison Park is very rarely an easy fixture.
Right.
So... A 1-1 draw is not a horrific result for them.
Yeah.
They probably should have won it.
As you were saying, it's the first week, not everybody was going to score. The only reason why I feel like Lamela is popping up is because, he scored the only goal. Whereas if Kane had scored that goal or, Dembele or like who Dembele I don't even think Dembele played.
He didn't. Yeah, I think he's injured right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, and he's like a motor on that team that I think when he's in there changes the dynamic of like what Dele Alli has to do.
Yeah, I think that does make a lot. I think Kane is the same way where Kane tends to pick up more points when Dembele's on the pitch too. It's amazing how important Dembele. I mean, you know, it sort of points to what Conte did for Leicester last year.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, and you know,
it's, and so, boy, you could tell they missed him so much in this whole game.
I know the defense too. I mean, you may not need a Leicester defender at the moment. I don't think that Lamela can be this year's Mahrez, if only because Liverpool have the same. The same thing could apply to someone like Adam Lallana, which is that you know, on a team as loaded as Tottenham or Liverpool are in their attack, the wealth is going to be spread around enough.
Agreed.
That it's kind of. You're never going to – like, to be a Riyad Mahrez and to be this year's Mahrez, you've got to be in a team that needs you to basically create most of the scoring, the vast majority of the scoring. I mean, you could be like – if you're like a Gareth Bale talent, then it doesn't matter who else is surrounding you. But in most cases, you know, you need to be like the focal point of your offense to be to pick up the kind of points that Mahrez picked
up. And like, yeah, I do think there is something that – to that point that Mahrez and Vardy probably – scored 90% of
Leicester's, some ridiculous like, number.
Like Lamela is not doing that for Tottenham.
You
can put that down right now. I mean, but
it'd be at least half their goals last
to that point. And like, what's interesting about this like topic is that a lot of those mid-tier emerging midfielders that were plentiful last year with Payet and Mahrez and like even like Sigurdsson towards the end of the season, like all those players have vaulted in price this year.
so you need the new ones. Exactly.
Yeah. So it is a good topic to be talking about.
Lamela is someone that I'm kind of tempted to think about right now because it's 7 million. You know, I could turn Alli into Lamela. That 1.5 million then turns Firmino, who also just went for me this weekend, into Eden Hazard. I could do that in game week 3 without burning any points. Yep. So that's a tempting move.
Yeah, and if you're using that money right, I think at the end Alli and Lamela will be about the same, but. From a point fantasy point production,
it's still a hard thing to wrap my head around. But you know, it's still a world where
it's haircut.
A world where I might bring in Eric Lamela is still tough for me. I'm sorry, Spurs fans, including you.
So, what are some other mid tier midfielders?
Well, I think Nathan Redmond is the one that we talked about on on our team preview on Southampton. I was sort of banging the drum about him so often, but I just felt like you know a 6 million striker in a team like a 6 million midfielder like who's playing as a striker. On Spurs, irresistible, picked up 10 points, almost had 2 goals.
I feel like any time you can get a midfielder that's playing more forward, like I think Arnautovic was like that last year for Stoke, that like when they're misclassified, it's like something you have to jump on. Like,
yeah, exactly. And, you know, I think that, I mean, Nathan Redmond is just somebody I've always kind of liked. I liked him when he was at Norwich. I thought he was a good fit for this Southampton team. They really need another striker. I'm not sure if they're going to get one before the transfer window closes. If they do, that could force you to reevaluate things a little bit. But at the moment, 6 million, playing as a striker, frees up cash elsewhere in your team. I think he's the one midfielder that I'd be looking at bringing in if I didn't have him already. Ross Barkley, what do you think about Barkley?
Ugh. What don't I think about Barkley? I actually was thinking about this on my way over here. So we were talking yesterday when we were watching matches, like classic Barkley scores like to start the year.
Right, kicks things off the bench.
Yeah, everybody's talking about how he's the must get, and then he's probably going to crap out after like a couple of weeks. But
this is what we've seen in the past.
Is there something to the strategy of getting him early with a plan of getting rid of him after a few weeks?
I think that's reasonable. I think that's. We don't know if Ronald Koeman, you know, he was great as a Southampton manager. You know, started really strong his first year at the club. Maybe he's motivated them in a way. You know, he's found some way to unlock. And because Barkley is another guy, he's like, you know, he's similar to Lamela, where he's still really young. You know, I mean, Barkley is still like a future starter on the English national team, probably. You know,
Still click together. I guess the thing that always concerned me. Even with a new manager coming in, is that like Martinez's problem was not like offense and going like a positive approach to the game. Like like there were plenty like of opportunities in that strategy for Barkley to just like sort of flourish, and he would just like disappear in games.
That is definitely true. I mean, the second half of last season in particular, and you wonder in hindsight if they kind of quit on him or
something. Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah.
So it was just for someone of his talent to just, I think he went, 10 or 11 weeks without producing any real, maybe he had an assist in there or a goal in one game. And I know there was one game when the one time he performed well was when Romelu Lukaku didn't play. And I think he had two goals in that match. But, it was this outlier. You look at his numbers and it's 2-2-2-2-2, 16 and then 2-2-2 again. So.
Yeah, I feel like if he was like 6.5, like I would probably consider going for him and taking a punt on it. But at 7.5, I feel like there's just so many other options you can get.
Yeah, I agree. I think that, so Redmond, Lamella, I think those are both more tempting. I threw a Leroy Fur on there, not because I think he's a great option, but if some people just they're committed to the game week 3 wildcard. So if you're only going to play Fur for 1 week, then having Leroy Fur in a team that still doesn't have, that still hasn't really gelled. I mean, Leroy Fur is not long term, I think, going to be a key player on Swansea, and their fixture is about to get a lot worse. Their next fixture is a home match to Hull City. So maybe you bring in Fur as a 1 week punt at 5 million. If you like the rest of your forward line, but you want to move out, some 4.5, 5 million player, that might be a move that I would consider.
Yeah, I mean, at 5 million, he's probably going to start for them all the time, at least. Like, who else are they going to play?
Yeah, exactly.
That's 5 million that's going to play all the time that could possibly provide you some attacking points. So that's.
And, if your team's constructed the right way, he's just your fifth midfielder, and you can just bring him in and stick him at the end of the bench. So I think he's not a bad wild card option, I think, too. Yeah. I mean, if he's going to be playing right at the front of the line behind Llorente, then, I think it makes sense to bring in Fur. So Sushant on Twitter said, should I ditch Townsend for Ramirez, Lamella, or Save?
Yes. Don't even think about it.
Like, I agree. I mean, that Crystal Palace team... Even when they bring in a striker, which they probably will, they've been linked with Berahino, they've been linked with Benteke. Even then, it's not really going to help someone like Townsend that much, I don't think.
No, and as mentioned, I'm a Spurs fan. Just like watching him on Spurs is like so infuriating. Frustrating. What's frustrating too is that he has skills and talent that he could be like pretty great player, not like amazing, but like he just. Has never seen a shot he doesn't want to take, and it always always rising up into like the 50th row.
They needed that on Newcastle when he came in the second half of the last season, but it certainly didn't happen in game week one. One player that I haven't heard a lot of people talk about right now that I think is sort of tempting as a midfield as a mid priced option is Shaqiri, who's 6.5 million, plays for Stoke. Stoke have kind of the game week 2 fixture is not one that's very appealing. They're home to Man City.
Well, I will say when Stoke was at full strength, those few games they were where they had Shaqiri and Arnautovic and everybody like on the pitch at the same time, they looked amazing. Like I think it was like the Man City game where they just like it was like Man City or Man U last season where they like just destroyed them.
It's like both of them, I think. Yeah.
If they can start humming again the way they did those few times last season, even with the tough fixture run, I do think they can get a goal or two in one or two of these matches, and Shaqiri's going to be very central to what they do.
I agree. And even honestly in game week 2, I mean, watching that Man City match, I mean, you could just tell they weren't quite clicking yet. You have a brand new center back there in that squad in John Stones, and you had Kolarov like playing as a center back. Yeah, let's just both crack our beers right now. Yeah. Got our 6 point sweet actions here. You could certainly see Spurs playing in that match. I mean, I'm certainly still planning to start John Stones. Okay, so let's move on to the next point, which is promoted squads. Who stood out at Hull, Burnley, and Middlesbrough? Let's start with Middlesbrough. I don't know if you caught any of this match. I saw
the highlights.
Okay. I watched probably 45 minutes or so of this match. I had a couple of players in it, so I was kind of curious just how they all clicked. And yeah, the player that we talked about on the podcast was Gaston Ramirez, who is a former Southampton player, has battled injuries on and off the last couple of years. Still only 25 years old, though, and it plays for the Uruguayan national team. So friends with Suarez, one assumes.
Yeah.
Possibly friends with the great Diego Forlan. Who knows?
I remember when he was on that Southampton team. He was like a fantasy must own.
He had like a great run, I think he tore his knee or something like that. So he was a mid-season transfer for Middlesbrough. Played really well once he joined the squad, and he looked fantastic in this match. He had the assist on the Negredo goal. Should have scored a goal himself, actually, too. He had a great run, and he just missed it by inches. Picked up a yellow card. He was all over the match. It was all over the place. Hitting the crossbar. Just very, very action-packed game. And so at 5.5 million, I think he's an extremely tempting buy. I mean, it's almost the perfect price for a fourth midfielder. So highly recommend taking a look at Ramirez. The other player in Middlesbrough is Negredo, who 6.5 million. Now, this brings us back to the Andre Gray thing. I feel like a lot of people are already talking about either Vardy to Negredo or Gray to Negredo. I mean, as a Gray owner, how are you feeling right now?
I mean, looking at their fixtures, I'm fine with sticking it out, I think. I mean, who do they have? Let me see. They have Liverpool. Like, there's goals in that game.
Yep, for sure.
And then Chelsea, but then they play Hull and Leicester.
Right.
And I feel like it's a pretty good
poor run. Leicester. After one bad week, and suddenly it's like, well, you got to hold him for that Leicester match.
Well, like, man, like, yeah, I feel like defensively, like, without Conte there, yeah. Like, I think they'll figure it out eventually, but I do think there's some new pieces, and it was like breaking up this perfect.
Yeah, it was system. Like greater than the sum of its parts.
Yeah, and even just like taking, they kept the core of it, but like even taking out just like that one essential pin, it sort of has like let some of the air out.
I think you're right, and I thought that Danny Simpson in particular looked really bad in that match.
He looked
bad in the supporters or the whatever that thing's called, charity shield.
Yeah. They gave up the second goal, I think it was, when Schmeichel did the outlet throw. He tried to get them going on the counter.
Yeah.
And, like, I forget who it was, but it might have been Musa or somebody, one of the newer additions.
Yeah.
Like, wasn't ready for the pass, and it was intercepted, and then that led to the second goal. Like,
you wonder if they're a little jittery, you know? I mean, they shouldn't have that kind of desperation. You know, the halfway through the first game of the season, you know.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But Middlesbrough has Sunderland, which has some goals, but then West Brom, Crystal Palace, and Everton. So,
yeah.
It's not as good as a fixture run. So, like, I'm fine with hanging on to Gray, especially if I'm making some midfield moves. Because then I don't have to play Gray. Like, I can just do two up top.
I like the Sunderland fixture away in particular for Negredo, and you know, I'm definitely planning to play Ramirez. You know, Sunderland, West Brom, Crystal Palace, the next three. I feel pretty good about all three of those. I mean, Sunderland played well, you know, against Man City. You know, in the Etihad, it was impressive. But I feel like a David Moyes always kind of does well against Man City. It's like
he does.
When he was at Everton, it was always kind of a theme with him. So. I don't know how much of that was really a factor, but I know they played pretty well, and they were playing like a 20-year-old American on that squad. Had you even heard of that guy, Gooch? No. there's an American on Sunderland who I never heard of before named Gooch. It was crazy.
Is he the reason that Yedlin isn't on loan to them still?
I guess it was so strange. So he's like a midfielder, I think, like a defensive
one interesting
midfielder.
Thing is when we're talking about like. Lamella being this year's Mahrez, you do have to wonder if Negredo and Ramirez are this year's Vardy and Mahrez.
Well, possibly. I mean, given how well they linked up together.
Yeah, exactly. Like, it's hard to, looking at that Middlesbrough team, who consistently is going to provide them the attacking points, it's probably these two. Like,
so the other team that I would think about would be Hull. The other kind of comparison maybe is Hull with Snodgrass and Abel Hernandez. They're mid, you know, Robert Snodgrass, the legendary former Norwich player, had a terrible knee injury, finally came back, played half a season for Hull last year, picked up a great goal and picked up 10 points at 5.5 million. Now, the thing about Hull is they're only human, right? They have an okay starting 11, and the fact that everyone on Twitter, in the newspapers, or The Guardian Online, everywhere else, everyone was talking about them like, it's not going to happen. Like, this team might not win a game this year. Like, just terrible, terrible things. And I just wonder if they heard this and they thought, well, screw you guys. You know, like, yeah. there's just like a little extra momentum there. Like, it's the classic sort of nobody believes in us. And like, if there's ever a squad that was, you know, a candidate for the nobody believes in us school, it's certainly this team, right? So it does make you wonder if, maybe there's something there. I mean, they have terrible fixtures the next several weeks. That's part of the problem. They're away to Swansea, which really isn't a great fixture. Man United.
It's not a terrible fixture. You put that 11 against Swansea's 11. There's not.
It's not a terrible fixture, but it's, you know, but it's not a fantastic fixture. Right, so yeah. It's a mediocre fixture. Then they play Man United, Arsenal, and Liverpool in three of the next four.
That's tough.
That's pretty tough. And even away to Burnley in game week four is no gimme.
No, yeah.
So it's a pretty tough run. So even if I was tempted to bring these guys in, and I've always kind of liked Snodgrass, and at 5.5 million, you know, it's not like he's replacing Eden Hazard.
Right? True. You
know, so,
well, and yeah,
someone to keep an eye out for.
I do think if somebody is going to produce for them, Snodgrass will be part of it.
Yeah, I think so too.
A couple years ago on that Norwich team, he was very essential for like a huge part of the season for Norwich. So
exactly. There's no W. You just say Norwich.
Norwich. Norwich. Norwich. Norwich. Itty.
No rich.
No. But I do think while Hull has a better 11 than last year's Aston Villa, I do think they don't, like, given that they have zero bench.
Yeah.
There's only, like, if you, the strategy of, like, riding the captaincy against Hull will start to play out, I think, as the season goes on.
It's, yeah, you made the same point to me yesterday. I totally agree. I mean, a great starting 11 will do fine until the Christmas fixtures roll around and you suddenly have,
exactly,
you know, four matches in 12 days or whatever.
Well, especially if they like win a couple matches in any of these cup games, like, right. It's just like, if there's smart, no, they'll just throw.
No, they're bringing fans in the stands. They're going to like win a contest to play in the Capital One Cup this year. There's no way that Hull wants any of those players. But you know, that being said, so then Burnley, we talked about Gray already. There was really no one else in Burnley that, was, you know, so I started Tom Heaton, and I feel fine with that. I mean, I picked up 4 points from Heaton. It's only annoying because I had the 10 points on my bench from
West Brom.
But Foster, thank you. So you know, but viewed in a vacuum, picking up four from my keeper is perfectly fine. He picked up 7 saves. I'm probably going to end up having Heaton on my team the whole year. You know, 4.5 million. He's going to, as we saw in this match, even if they're not going to score, he's going to pick up plenty of saves.
Yeah, and I think that's something this year to think about too, is like goalkeepers that can give you save points.
Yeah,
even though they might not give you clean sheets consistently, those can add up to a decent return over the whole season.
Exactly, especially if they're your backup keeper or someone you're only playing in the absolute worst fixtures for your starter. I am wondering now if when I play my first wild card, there's at least a chance I'm going to just go with Jakubovic, you know, it's 4 million, and David De Gea at 5.5 million. I almost never have expensive goalkeepers, but the issue with De Gea is that it would be primarily a defensive move because he is he may be the most owned player in the Premier League. I think he has like 47% ownership or something like that. So if anytime there's a Man U clean sheet this year, anybody who's doubled up on Man U's defense is going to be just like, you know, going shooting right past you. Now, the flip side is that if they don't score, then you have a great chance to move ahead. But it's very scary not having De Gea. I mean, even as a Shaw owner, I'm basically rooting against a Man U clean sheet right now because it's so harmful.
I will say that that's where like having some Man U coverage doesn't, if you don't want to spend that money on De Gea, could like keep you afloat.
You need at least one, I think.
You need at least one. Yeah. I do think that's true. But since De Gea is not going to get a bunch of save points, because as we saw in game week one, it seemed like Mourinho has that offense pretty like positive as far as their like the way they're formed, and like with Rooney and Ibra, like they're definitely holding a lot of the ball. So like it like De Gea is not going to get a lot of shots against him, so he's not going to put up any many like 10 pointers unless he like saves a penalty or something.
That's a very interesting point. I mean, you are right. Like I maybe he'll occasionally have an opportunity to save a penalty or something like that. But in general, yeah, like
it's, he'll get it's, a solid
it's six.
Six
or yeah. nothing.
It's
yeah.
six or nothing.
Yeah, that's
and
true.
So that's you just have to keep. That
yeah,
in mind
you're not going to get here. Those. You're not going to get the 10 pointers like you're getting from Foster occasionally. Right. Yeah, that's a fair point. It's a good point.
I mean, already he is zero. He doesn't have any clean sheets so far. So
he's,
I mean,
he's ranked
yeah.
tied for 11th.
I was
like
giddy when I saw that goal going.
I was too. Even owning Cha, I was like, oh, this helps me more than it hurts me.
Yeah.
Arsenal, Leicester, Man City, Spurs, all of them were a little bit disappointing in this first fixture. You know, Spurs, we've already talked about, tough away fixture.
I wouldn't say disappointing, just not what we've come to.
Yeah,
not
maybe,
typical players.
Maybe personally yeah. disappointing because I had Ali, you know, so I'd be yeah. for a little bit more. Yeah.
But not compared to like Leicester or Arsenal. That was just
those were both bad. So what do you think about so Leicester? Are you gonna do you know what your transfer is going to be this week? Have you already thought about it?
I don't. After you mentioned holding on for one, I need to look at my midfield and reconsider. Yeah. Like Redmond, I'm looking at either Redmond or Ramirez.
Okay,
I feel like I want to get one of them in. So it's just a question of if I'm doing it this week or next week.
Okay, and who would you think about dropping to bring in that?
Well, so I fell into the Crystal Palace hype,
uh-huh.
and I have Kabay and Zaha. So,
whoa,
like,
double
those,
Palace!
I know
it's too
I
much
know.
Palace. That's got to be your move then.
Yeah, it's one of them on the chopping block for sure.
Yeah, yeah. What'd you get? Was it like a combined 2 points or something? Three.
Well, Zaha was on my bench, so.
Oh, okay. All right. Yeah. All right. Fair enough.
So it wasn't. Terrible, but
yeah, goodbye to Ramirez or goodbye to Redmond is a straight swap, right?
Yeah.
That's probably the
best
move.
That's probably what I'm gonna do.
You should keep an eye on the price change because Redmond might go up like a tenth this week. And I don't know if you have any money left in your bench, but that might be one to.
I don't think.
I know, but nobody, who has the self control?
Exactly.
Yeah, it's so hard that first game week.
But yeah, like, I mean, Leicester, I feel like if you have Mahrez or Vardy, I think it's worth hanging on to them another week. Like,
I think so, too.
Like, they're not going to go to complete shit. Like,
I don't think so either. I mean, Vardy and Mahrez came through fine. Yeah, picked up 8 points, perfectly acceptable haul.
And he looked decent in that. Not great, but, like, not terrible.
I think this is the worst possible fixture for Arsenal. I mean, coming off... You know, I mean, I really, we don't even need to talk about Arsenal because Arsenal it was a humiliating loss for them. All the Arsenal fans think so too. I'm not taking anybody off by saying that. We, and I'm an Arsenal fan, we all feel this way. And it's just a tough time for that squad because so many of their players, you know, played in the European Championships. So many of them are still, you know, Koscielny and Ozil and, you know, Ramsey came back too soon. Now he's out for a month. And, you know, I think that...
Yeah, Sanchez, I can't even remember that he played.
Like, yeah. Oxlade-Chamberlain is the one player...
I was
going to
say,
out.
Like, you guys called him out on the on your review a couple episodes ago. And I would say if you're going to do anything, maybe him. But is he even going to start? Like, well, you don't even know.
That's the question. Is he going to start or is it... Jeff Petter asked us a question on Facebook and he said... It sort of ties into this question. Is there anyone we're desperate to get in? Obvious candidates if you don't have them being Ibra, Mane, and Coutinho. Said also, are there potential bargains in Mata and Cazorla or Cazorla, if you will? Yeah. That's a little hard for me to actually say. It's like literally hard for me to say. I'm not like embarrassed to say it. It's just hard to say. Cazorla is a tempting option.
But
he's Oxlade-Chamberlain. Like, are these guys going to start?
Yeah. You know? Yeah. Well, is Cazorla still on penalties? I mean, I'm assuming he is since Walcott can't even make anything. And
exactly. And so I would expect him to start in game week two. I don't know if the Ox and Cazorla will both start in game week two, but. This is the problem, is it's just too early in the season. I mean, I think, you know, 2-3 weeks from now, if we're consistently getting starts from the Ox or from Cazorla, then I think they're both great options. And Sandy Cazorla, let's go back to the Z, the pronunciation. Yeah. Maybe it's wrong. Sandy Cazorla, you know, has been a great fantasy asset over the years. I mean, there was a time, you know, 3 years ago before Mesut Ozil joined the squad where he basically carried that team to fourth place. You know, he was by himself.
Yeah.
And now he's kind of an afterthought on that team, you know, because he injured. Not an afterthought exactly, but just, he doesn't shine as brightly as Ozil and Sanchez. But, you know, I think that neither one of those, you know, Cazorla or Oxlade-Chamberlain are quite – who I'd be looking at for my first transfer, because I just don't feel confident they're actually going to start. And you don't want to bring anybody in, even if you're like, well, there'll be a power sub when they come into the season. I mean, there's usually a better option than that. So Leicester we're holding, Arsenal we're avoiding, Spurs, good fixtures to come. That brings us to Man City, and Spurs EPL Champs 2018 says, I think you went 2018. Yeah, he's going a year ahead. It's a two-year process.
I like that. Like Spurs, Spurs fan. Maybe he's not a Spurs fan. He's like an Arsenal fan.
I think he is.
Trolling.
He's got the Spur. Yeah. He's got the Spur avatar on his Twitter feed. It says, will David Silva continue to start, or was a substitution an indicator that he may be replaced next week? Now, I mean, to be totally honest, I can't answer that question. You can, because you know Pep a little bit.
Yeah, Pep and I go way back. we used to hang out in this very room, actually. I will say I watched a post-game match where they asked Pep about, like, not starting Joe Hart and if that would, like, put a fire under Joe Hart or something. And he's like, he's a professional. I hope he, like, wants to play.
Well,
I think, like, Pep came in, like, the equivalent of, like new to the prison yard. Yeah. And, like, instead of smacking, like, the biggest person down in the room, he just did it to everybody.
Yeah.
And, like, it's just like, look, like, who's going to have to fucking, like...
Who's left standing? Yeah.
You're going to have to earn your spot, like...
I think you're right. And, you know, the thing... Claudio Bravo just signed with Man City today, so they're actually so Hart is out basically. Yeah. Claudio Bravo is a former Barcelona starting goalkeeper, so it's basically over now for
insane.
So what does that mean?
All that yelling in the tunnel. Where's it gonna go?
I really cannot say. I actually know, but I cannot say. I literally can't say. I don't think I'd be playing. I wouldn't be planning to bring in. So this is the reason I didn't bring in Nolito, who looked okay at times in the match. He was also an early sub. The problem is that Man City have Champions League qualifiers. They have a two-legged qualifying match they have to play, and that's going to unfold over the next couple of weeks. And nobody's safe on that team. Now, obviously, you need it Sergio Aguero. But outside of Aguero, that whole midfield, I think, is up.
KDB might be okay.
KDB might be okay. He didn't have a great match, though. And at 10.5 million, he had a free kick that was saved, but really it was like a near post free kick. It wasn't.
90% of the keepers in the league are going to
save
that.
Exactly. It looked cool.
Yeah.
but he skied a bunch over the bar. And he's kind of mercurial. I mean, at 9 million or 9.5 million even, like, at a pretty high price you can put up with that kind of performance. But I think at 10.5 million, you're really looking at a really – you need a deluxe return for that kind of price.
Yeah.
And I'm just not seeing that with KDB.
Yeah.
So Silva, I mean, I would love to see David Silva do well because I just like watching him play.
You know,
when he's healthy, he's just – really fun player to watch, and he links up really well with Aguero and picks up tons of, I mean, you know, there was a time, you know, 3 or 4 years ago when, you know, it was like, you just started your team with Silva. He was like one of the first people you slotted in. And, you know, now he's got these ankle problems, and I just think it's, he's not somebody I'm planning to bring in anytime soon.
Same.
That's for sure. Yeah.
Same.
And I also think his minutes are going to get managed all year. So that's the other problem. We talked about the other disappointing squads, but, you know, Man U and Liverpool both actually stood out. I thought they both played really well. I mean, Liverpool, this kind of what will probably prove to be a famous ass-kicking of Arsenal at the Emirates. Really embarrassing. I mean, you came over to watch this match, and it was just so painful as an Arsenal fan. I'm so mad right now.
As we talked about, it's the... The ass-kicking Arsenal needed.
Yeah.
Because otherwise, they could have sat back and been like, everything's fine. Or Wenger could have been like, everything's fine.
I know. I'm officially a Wenger out person. The issue, and this has nothing to do with fantasy, but this is a quick, like, 60-second aside.
Do it.
The issue here is that he is a manager who has acceptable results and doesn't ask the owner to spend any money at all, basically, right? The bare minimum every single year. And that is an unfireable manager because his results are just good enough for him to make the Champions League every year, which is a windfall, but it's also puts the fans in a position where they can't quite complain about it because they are, you know, they're finishing the top four. I mean, they finished second last year, but so the only way it's going to end is for him to resign. There's no...
Yeah.
I bet they give him a contract extension, you know? Or they have to lose, like, 8 of their first 9 or something like that.
Yeah.
And so I don't want that to happen, but I'm wondering if that
that's
kind of has to happen.
To take,
if that's what it's going to take.
So, well, yeah, just, what's crazy is too is that, like, every time you hear about them transferring somebody in, it's like this attacking midfielder. It's like you have like a million of them. What are they going to do with Mahrez? Like,
yeah,
he's the same exact player as like Alexis Sanchez. Like,
although if he replaces Theo Walcott,
that's fair. Yeah. But like they desperately need like a number nine. Like,
yeah, totally.
Because like Giroud is injured. Like nobody's even can come in. Like Welbeck's injured. Like they have nobody.
All right, so let's focus on the positive here. Yeah, I couldn't agree more. So Liverpool, is there anyone that you don't have any Liverpool coverage, right?
I don't.
And is there anybody that you? I mean, it's the obvious candidate here is Coutinho and even possibly Sadio Mane.
So we had I think you had retweeted somebody from the Hill Cheaters saying like, oh, like Liverpool midfield, like it's just going to be all over the place this season as far as like attacking points.
Yeah, yeah.
Which I think is true.
Yeah.
So I think it's just you're going to have to like take your punts on most of the midfield or even like their forwards and like.
And it's fine if the points are
spread out.
It's fine if they're scoring four goals a game. It's fine if the points are spread out.
Right.
I mean, you just pick up two Liverpool midfielders. Right, that might be the solution.
But I do think. If Coutinho stays on free kicks, he is your most solid pick, I would say.
Yeah, because it used to be a little more of a Jordan Henderson Coutinho split, and maybe now it's mostly Coutinho. I thought that, you know, for me, so I have Firmino, and you know, Colin Bothwell sent a question to us on Twitter. He said, you know, can you explain how I own Sanchez and Firmino and get 4 points from a 7-goal game?
It's insane.
Yeah, that's so frustrating. I have Firmino, and yeah, there was one point Sanchez missed he had a great free kick in a great spot. It didn't go anywhere. But Firmino, I thought he was active. You know, he set up Coutinho for what should have been his hat trick goal. He checkmate a great save. So, you know, Firmino was active. He was involved. With a little more luck, I think the point totals could have been reversed.
Right. No, for sure. And I think it's something where if you're looking at Firmino versus Sanchez, Firmino was present in that game. Sanchez was non-existent.
Yeah.
Like, not to say that Sanchez is going to be like that all season, but like...
He has those games, though.
Yeah, there's more of a positive outlook, I feel like, if you have Firmino, that he'll get his eventually.
I think so, too. I'm a little nervous about not having Sadio Mane, to be honest. I mean,
oh man, that goal was insane.
The goal was insane. It just seems like he's a good fit for the style that Jurgen Klopp plays. And so I got seduced by the 0.5 difference between Firmino at 8.5 and Mane at 9 million. But I know that there's a big run in Coutinho right now, but I would actually be going towards Mane if I was making the transfer in.
Do you think what's their price difference?
It's 1 million. So Coutinho's 8 and Mane is 9.
So I would probably, for me, I would go with Coutinho just because he looks like he's going to be on free dead ball free kicks.
Yeah. It'd be interesting to see if he was on penalties. Maybe it stirred
That might be something that tips it over. But like Mane is not going to be on kicks. Like free kicks, he's just not like. But it does seem like he fits so well into this offense that like it's.
I
get a lot.
I was lamenting that Wijnaldum's at 8 million. I wish that Gigi Wijnaldum was even at 7.5. He's a little more. 8 million just seems like a little too high for
way too much.
Yeah, for given that he doesn't necessarily have a position. In that squad right now.
Like, he has a position, like last but no one knows season, where it he is. He will have two fixtures this year where he's going to get like. A bunch of goals, and then everyone's gonna be like, "Book!"
But he picked up the assist, and you know, but Lallana actually is the one. If I were wildcarding this week, Lallana would be a very tempting buy at 7 million. He scored in the last preseason match, and then he scored.
He looked great in that Barcelona match, and I think the same. Yeah, he looked really good in this one. I think. I mean, really, all their midfielders you can't go wrong with. It's just I think if you're picking one, you have to. Pick one knowing that you're not gonna. There's a chance like you could go on a 2-3 game week drought,
exactly.
But then you're gonna get some.
You just can't be super results oriented after one week. I mean, I know I said I wasn't gonna keep saying it, but it is true. Like you can't look at one result and be like Coutinho was a great player and Firmino was a bad player.
Bad luck is a Firmino owner. Unless you have Klein for some attacking points, dump any Liverpool defender you
even
have.
Then, like, I mean, I think one of the most shocking stats from last year was that Nathaniel Klein, over 38 weeks, only picked up 2 bonus points. I don't even know how that's possible for a defender to have that few bonus points.
Well, and he probably had that season. Like after like three game weeks when he was at Southampton.
Yeah, like, exactly. It was very strange. So yeah, I mean, you know, the problem with Moreno is that Moreno was like he's a great fantasy player and kind of a terrible real life player. Yeah, bad fit for that squad. I think when that penalty conceded was terrible. I totally wouldn't be bringing any Liverpool defenders, even for their attacking potential. It's just there's got to be a better place to make your buys.
So, Man U, is Zlatan essential?
Well, probably. I mean, at 11,
probably.
I think at 11. I mean, the price. It's tempting to say no because of the price, but I think his ownership is so high that you're just in a terrible position. You go the other
opposite.
Way.
I think he's essential because he is 11 right now. He's at the end of the season. He's gonna be like a 13.
Yeah. Oh, so you're agreeing.
Get in now. Yeah. Otherwise, you're looking at like a January wild card to get him in.
You might be right. I have this reluctance to like totally agree to it because Aguero is already essential.
Like he's at the same ownership levels as Aguero.
I know. Yeah, you need them both.
It's only gonna rise. I feel like because Aguero is going to be very limited. He's maxed out because he's so expensive.
Yeah, and his ownership level was so high to start the season.
Right.
But I think it's kind of a bummer because that means that 24.5 million of everyone's team, literally a quarter of your value is going to be tied up in these two players.
Yeah.
But I think for the time being, I think they probably all are both essential.
But I think what's interesting is that who do you captain?
Yeah.
We're back into the SAS.
Yeah, exactly.
Year where it's do you captain Sturridge or Suarez?
It actually leads right into our final talking point of this game week, which is game week two captaincies. We had three different questions about them. FPL Koi says, I'm just going to say them all at once, then we can take them individually. FPL Koi says, do we go Ibra or Aguero for game week two? Richard Orfer says, keep the arm brand away on Aguero at Stoke, or switch over to Ibra at home. And so similar themes there to the Ibra Aguero debate, which I guess at least there are two options. I mean, last year it was basically just Aguero every game week, right? So we have some options now. Yeah. And then Moment of Magic Pod says, all caps, should I captain Snodgrass?
Triple captain Snodgrass.
That's the answer.
That's triple the answer. Done.
The new name of the podcast is Triple Captain Snodgrass.
Game week two.
I think that... Okay, this is a tricky one, actually. I don't want to... I wish I could speak confidently in terms of my opinion on this. I think that... I actually think that captaining Ibrahimovic in game week two is a really tempting idea. My only concern is whether he may come off the bench because they played he's 34 going into 35. They played a Sunday match and this is a Friday match. So, you know, it's Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. It's only 4 days off. You wonder if maybe he doesn't start the match. And if he doesn't start the match, then I think you want to go Aguero.
Yeah, I agree. I actually have Ibra, and I don't know how often I'm going to captain him, if only because he doesn't seem essential to what Man U is doing, but he's a can't-not-have because, he can score a goal at any moment.
Yeah, yeah.
In the way that Aguero can. So I actually, going into the season, I was... especially after seeing that Community Shield match. I think he could be one of these forwards that ends up with 20-something goals, but has very few bonus points. I know he got the three this time, but I do think he'll, over time, not get as many bonus points as your Agueros or whoever.
It feels like that whole team is still so up in the air, Manu.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, Mkhitaryan didn't play. We expect long term that he'll be a starter. I mean, Juan Mata. Some people were asking us about Mata. I don't think that Mata is a player worth bringing in because I just don't know. I mean, they might have just been basically putting him in the shop window.
I think that's probably more of the case.
I mean, he was gifted a goal.
More of a player manager like managing a player being like, I subbed you on and then subbed you off.
I don't
20
think,
minutes later, so I'm gonna like give you the start.
I don't think then, he would do that because I think the stakes were too high, you know. And a win at Bournemouth is not an easy fixture. I mean, in hindsight, it's like, oh, routine 3-1 win, but you know, Bournemouth is pretty solid.
Was that away? It was
away.
Oh, was? Yeah. Oh, I thought it was home.
Yeah, so it was away. You know, it's a team that's pretty, you know, it's pretty much the same as last year. I thought Bournemouth played a little bit better, to be honest. So I think that, I don't know, I think that he, like, either he thought it was a good matchup or he's shopping him, you know? And I still wouldn't be surprised if at the end of August, Mata's playing in, you know, Valencia or something like that.
Right. Yeah, and, like, whatever's going on with Man City right now, like, Aguero is still getting service. Like, they have enough quality. Yeah. He's going to get the service. He's going to get a lot of chances.
I think so, yeah.
And I agree. Like, I would lean towards Aguero on this, but like overall, my strategy is going to be only Captain Ibra when it's like obvious.
Yeah, but otherwise, stick with Aguero. Yeah. I don't think you can really go wrong with that strategy, especially with Stoke not playing particularly good defense at the moment, or like the last year or two, really. But I do think that I'm actually leaning slightly towards Captain Ibrahimovic at the moment, but I think I'm going to pay close attention to the. To the Ben Dinnery Twitter feed and to, you know, the press conferences, see if I can glean something from what Mourinho says about Ibrahimovic. Now, you know, Mourinho is always going on about how you can't think of him as a 34-year-old because of the kind of shape he's in. He might as well be 10 years younger, which is absolutely true. I mean, I'm 34. I'm the same age as Zlatan Ibrahimovic. I like can't walk up a flight of stairs anymore without gasping for breath. So it is hard for me to wrap my head around.
I think it's a New York thing, though. I feel like people that work out all the time still gasp for breath when they're going up.
We have very steep stairs. Yeah. It's very steep here. Yeah, we don't have nice escalators like they did in London.
Yeah,
they're always broken. The ones that we do have. And I guess the key question then is, you know, should Magic of Moment Pod Captain Snodgrass? And I think the answer is a resounding yes.
Yes, yeah. Magic of Moment Pod is in our private league, so
I would lock the captain. Yeah. That's my lock of the week is just triple Captain Snodgrass.
I would say play your wild card and pick up all the whole players you can.
Can you field 11 Snodgrasses?
Like El Mohammadi, like pick him up. Yeah. Can you field 11 Snodgrasses? Snodgrass is 11.
Snodgrass 11.
Change your team name. Like, just really own it.
I'd probably put 4 Snodgrass is on my bench too, so it'd be a true Snodgrass 15. All right, let's take a quick break and we'll come back with a few listener questions.
Same old podcast, always cheating.
We're back. We have some Twitter and Facebook questions. The first two questions concern Everton. Mahesh on Facebook said, "I can see Everton having a fantastic year." You know what, Mahesh? I hope they think you're having a fantastic year as well. With the news that Lukaku may sign a new contract, there are basically two good options, Barkley and Lukaku. I haven't heard this news about Lukaku.
Haven't either.
Lukaku was almost certainly going to go somewhere else next year, but, you know, let's table that for the moment. Who should we go with? They have amazing fixtures for the next 30 days. It's an interesting question. We haven't actually talked about... I think I've called every question interesting question so far. We have not talked about Lukaku at all. And, you know, Everton have a decent run of... They really do have a pretty good run of fixtures coming up. And their way to West Brom, which I actually don't think is a particularly
good
fixture.
Yeah, I don't think that's a good fixture. But
then Stoke, Sunderland, Middlesbrough, Bournemouth. Excellent fixtures.
Yeah.
And if Lukaku comes back and plays well in Game Week 2, I think he's a tempting option. I'm not planning to bring him in for Game Week 2. And... I mean, if I had Lukaku was actually a pretty highly owned player going into the season. I don't know how many people, like, I think the kind of people who are listening to this podcast weren't necessarily kept in or bringing Lukaku in, because he was pretty clearly going to be out with an injury. But I think that Lukaku is definitely one to keep an eye on. He might not even play the full 90 in this match, though.
Yeah.
So I think long term, I'm just more inclined to pick Lukaku over Barkley in general. I think there are better options than
long term. I agree. Did he injure himself like going into the fetal position after he heard Roberto Martinez is the Belgian manager.
That's probably what it was. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly.
But yeah, I agree. But one thing, I think that Bolasie transfer just went in to Everton.
That's a great point.
I do wonder how that's going to affect their formation. Who's Bolasie coming in for?
You know, Brandon has done like 40 of these podcast episodes. He's never had a point like that before. I'm just saying that was a very good point.
That's what I bring.
You're right. Bolasie at 6 million. If they plug him right in, that is an absolutely fantastic 6 million option. Super low ownership. It's going to take people a while to catch up.
He like was incredible at certain moments for Crystal Palace. Yeah. So it'll be interesting to see. But like, that'll also be interesting to see when Lukaku and him are together, how they link up.
It's hard to say. And Bolasie was a little streaky, to be sure, but it's a Crystal Palace team that didn't have a striker.
They did, if they had a Lukaku, like, I do wonder.
It could be very different.
How much that opened.
Even someone just to draw some defensive attention away from him. Yeah. So, yeah, I think you're right. I think Bolasie is the one to keep an eye on. Siraj says,
hey, Siraj.
Says, what are your thoughts on the Everton defense? They look solid against Spurs, and they have great fixtures coming up. It's a little tricky because Ashley Williams, always tricky. Always cheating, always tricky. They have some tricky fixtures coming. I mean, there's good fixtures coming up, but they have some tricky maneuvering to do. We know that Seamus Coleman is probably out for 4 weeks. He was photographed in this walking boot. So no Coleman, and maybe bringing in Ashley Williams, and I think Ashley Williams is a great signing for them. I think he'll solidify their defense. He's at $5 million. I think he's a great option. Leighton Baines is $5.5 million.
I do think Leighton Baines, if he's back on like free kicks and corners, like always worth a punt just because he can get those assists, or even like free kick goals. I mean, looking at their fixture, they do have a good fixture run from a attacking standpoint, but it seems like there's going to be goals in these games. Like Stoke is like a very attack. Like, I could see them being like 1-1, 2-1 matches. Like they're, I don't know how many clean sheets I see in these matches.
I'm inclined to agree with you. I don't know that I wouldn't be excited about bringing in. To be honest, I'd be more excited about bringing in a West Brom defender right now over an Everton defender.
Same.
Yeah, I just don't. I mean, I know that's like a little bit of like, oh, what happened again? You know, like what happened lately? But it wasn't like Everton's defense was historically been that solid. You know, the last. Now, granted, it was under Martinez, but and Coleman, you know, traditionally has had very strong defenses at Southampton. So, but it's just a wait and see. I think.
Yeah, and like I don't know. Their defense looked okay against Tottenham, but not like nothing you have to have.
I agree.
I would say wait. So Sam Ender says Swansea's Amat and Kingsley scored well this week. Who do you think is the better bench option at 4 million?
This is an easy one. It's Jordi Amat. They're both 4 million, but he's 4 million. And he is much more likely to start. It looks like he's probably going to, at least until he screws it up, it's a very good chance, or they bring in somebody at the end of the transfer window, he is the new starting center back for that squad. So Kingsley, meanwhile, is kind of filling in for Neil Taylor, who was on the Wales national team. Needed a little extra time to recover, but he played, I know, in like a Swansea under-21 match this week or something like that. So I think that Taylor's probably going to slot right in right away, so I wouldn't bring in Kingsley. I'd definitely bring in Amat. And then, you know, so, like, Swansea did keep a clean sheet. They have a very good chance of keeping a clean sheet in game week two. They have a terrible run of fixtures after that. But if you're just looking for a 4 million defender that starts, that you can stick at the end of your bench, I think he's a great option.
Yeah, and I do say it feels like they're pretty much setting up, like, we're going to try to, like, clean sheet our way through this fixtures.
I'm into it. I love Swansea. Whatever it takes, guys.
Like, because I don't know how. I'm amazed they scored a goal last game week, and we'll see.
Leroy Fer, man. I know. Yeah.
But so Jim Payne on the next one. Jim Payne asks, who were your four biggest surprise players in game week one? Two unexpectedly good and two disappointments.
All right. I'll take the good, and you can take the bad.
All right. That sounds good.
The good are Hull players. We've already talked about. I think that we probably were underrating those players a little bit. Just you saw all the red and the orange on the website, and it was kind of easy to dismiss them. And yeah, you know, the bad pictures coming out, but you know that's exactly where value can be found sometimes.
Well, and they're loaded with Premier League experience on that 11, like, so it's not like it was some like.
And Abel Hernandez,
promoted team that hasn't been in the league forever.
So. Abel Hernandez was having a Andre Gray type summer. I mean, the guy's been scoring in every fixture, so not a total shock. I actually think in the end he only was credited for an assist on that
the double bicycle kick.
But I think that
always cheating goal of the year contending.
Yeah, if you're looking for a true differential option, I think that Abel Hernandez is 6 points. I mean, Diamande at 4.5 million might be one to think about too. He picked up 8 points on the weekend. You know, I
especially when they're playing like Middlesbrough or like a championship team that they like are familiar with, I feel like they might be a little more comfortable like going attacking against them.
I just think if I was thinking about bringing in a Hull player, not even a Hull supporter, just if you're just a manager who doesn't care about any of these teams and you're looking to bring in a player, I think I would wait until like game week 8 or so, and that's when like so they have all of these tough matches, right? They play Man U, Arsenal, Liverpool, Chelsea, but then they play Bournemouth, Stoke, Watford, Sunderland, West Brom, Middlesbrough, Crystal Palace. This great run of reasonable fixtures, and maybe then is when you want Abel Hernandez at 6 million.
Yeah,
or Bobby Snodgrass. Yeah.
Bobby Snods.
Trevor, who are your disappointing players?
I'm gonna have to go with Vardy, like. Not because he didn't score, but because of the way he didn't score. Like, so many, like, chances. And just, I don't know if he was just not up for it or.
Yeah.
I mean, I think a lot of them came out not, like, expecting to win this and not really putting in the effort that probably they needed because they probably saw all the.
This is really the problem with having a 40 million forward line is that. If they don't, any game week where they don't score, you're like, what did I do? Like, why did I have this expensive forward line? What was the point? Anyone else?
And then I would say the Man City midfielders.
Yeah, yeah, I think so too. KDB, we already talked about a little bit.
Yeah, we talked a lot about it already, but I mean, who knows if any of them will be playing for Man City.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
But did you have another good... Surprise! I think he asked for two unexpectedly good and two disappointments.
That's true. We're answering this question with the letter of the.
It's a letter, yeah.
Yeah. I Coutinho. You know, I think obviously, I think he had a, you know, he played really well. I mean, Coutinho is a streaky player. You know, he'll have three straight fixtures where he has double figures, and then he'll kind of disappear for a few weeks. But man, you know, when he looks good and if he's engaged, he's a great fantasy player. And 8 million, you can accept a little bit of inconsistency.
Yeah, I mean, you almost wonder what the addition of Mane
does.
Maybe he's
winning more free kicks for him to take.
Yeah. Yeah, and also just like having him like be more engaged when you have like more of these players that are like Coutinho has to be basically ready to get the ball because they're like going to win it back even more than they did last year. Like,
yeah, that's an interesting point. Yeah. So I think that Coutinho. I think maybe I could almost say the entire Liverpool midfield because it was really just very impressive performance throughout. And who cares if they concede goals? You know, whatever. It's a 1 point clean sheet bonus exactly. loss. That's fine.
Yeah. Mignolet. Mignolet my ass. FPL Stato asks: is there a number of game week 1 points you can have to justify making no transfers before game week 2?
No, I don't think so. I wouldn't think about it that way. I would just think about fixtures, and I'm not even necessarily concerned about balance at this point, like having a balanced squad, because I'm sure I'm going to be wildcarding fairly soon. So right now I'm really like, what are the next 2 weeks of fixtures looking like, 2-3 weeks? Who do I need for those fixtures? Yep. And not thinking so much about long-term.
Yeah, and I would maybe say, like, not even so much the number of points, but, like, just some of these template players that are starting to show up, like Ibra or, like, obviously Aguero. Like, just making sure you have coverage on those just to keep pace with everybody.
As their price starts to rise. Yeah.
And their ownership levels grow. Like,
yeah. I mean, at 57 points, I don't feel like I feel. Yeah, I think overall I'm like 357th or something. Yeah. Like 57,000th, which is like a perfectly okay place to be after game week one. I think, you know.
Yeah, it's for sure.
Yeah. So
I mean, yeah, like looking at Lads on Torre, like obviously, like I see the mistakes I made in my midfield, yeah. And like just know I need to correct those.
Right.
And that's the difference between like being number one in the Hail Cheater Super League and being like
440 seconds.
So
Kelvin Chan says, should I keep Schrodinger's Wildcats for one more week?
No. God, why would you?
I don't think so either. I think that Kelvin Chan won our league last year. He's the reigning champ. You know,
yeah, I mean,
you gotta respect his moves. I don't think I'd be. I mean, well, it was a weird game for Walcott. You know, misses the penalty, scores the goal, but then kind of disappears in the second half of that match.
And I was watching some analysis of the highlights of that match, and they were showing that it was actually like, I think it was Mourinho on Liverpool that was, like, out of position on that goal. Like, so if he doesn't run out of position, like, Walcott might not have scored. Like, it doesn't take away from the goal.
He's not
going
to have
like,
Alberto Moreno to bail him out every week.
Exactly. Like, he only scored, even with the goal, he only, like, netted, like, five points
total.
Like,
yeah.
So it's not like you got a huge return on it.
I think there's at least a little bit of concern, too, about whether he's going to actually start long term for them, you know. Right. I think that he's I mean, it's possible that his spot, well, now that Ramsey's out, he's probably a sure starter for a while, but you know, I think long term, I mean, you could see someone, you know, there are other players in that squad like Oxlade-Chamberlain and even who's the guy who plays for the Costa Rican, Joel Campbell Campbell might slot in there too. So Walcott's already said he does not want to be playing as a forward anymore. There was this sort of idea that you can make him a forward for a while. So he's out on the wing, but there's a lot of competition on the wing at Arsenal, as we already said. So I think that I'd be a little nervous about having him just because not only is there concern about his performance, but just about him actually starting, you know, each week.
No, yeah, for sure. Razzie Boy asks, can you give a rundown of the 6.5 to 8 million striker options up to the international break?
There are three that I've highlighted here that I think are worth talking about, all of whom we've talked about to some degree already in the podcast, so we can make this quick. It's the final question, too, so let's, almost done.
There you go.
We can eat food soon. Alvaro Negredo, I think, is... I can't believe I'm saying this because I was really... Like, I called him the anti-Moneyball player on the last podcast. But I just like the way he looked in that Middlesbrough attack, and I really like the fixtures that are coming for Middlesbrough. So I think it's 6.5 million.
And if Ramirez is playing the way he's playing, I think it's...
It's a good link-up between those two.
Definitely.
Exactly. I think that the other one is Andre Gray, not willing to give up after 1 week. I think that Andre Gray is a hold for most managers. They're home to Liverpool in game week two. There's no reason to think Liverpool won't give up a goal or two in this match. And then they have a tough match to Chelsea in game week three. But then if you hold, you have Hull in game week four. So I think that ultimately, you know, two of the next three fixtures are pretty strong for Gray.
Yeah.
And so I would keep him for those. And the final one is Rondon at West Brom, who looks good. Looks like he's pretty much the only guy who can score on that team.
Yeah, I mean, he had a pretty good run at the end of last season for them. And the only reason why I could see him maybe not producing consistently is if they just decide to, like, park the bus.
Yeah, yeah.
Which they're known to do. But otherwise, like, he's definitely a good option.
I think so, too. And I actually just heard that West Brom might be in for Benteke now, which is kind of interesting.
Didn't he play for them on a loan or something?
I don't think so. I think he was just Aston Villa. Yeah. But, you know, you maybe think of Lukaku, who was...
old
West Brom. He was pretty good, actually. Yeah. I remember scored a hat trick in Ferguson's last match. I think that... it would be interesting to see how Benteke and Rondon would work together. I don't at the moment see how that
they're
could
both,
work.
They seem like the same player.
They do seem like the same player.
Yeah.
But maybe you can do a 4-4-2 and have two hulking strikers or something. Yeah. All right. Well, those are our questions for the game week. Upcoming fixtures. We're not going to run through all of these, but we got our first Friday night fixture of the season. I know there's only one last year.
Be sure to say your team
exactly
before the date.
A little easier in the UK, but yeah, if you're in the US, you got until probably, I think it'll be like something like 2 o'clock on Friday.
So. Yeah, you don't have to worry about that drunk 1 a.m.
Exactly, exactly. Yeah, like staying up all night learning about your team.
Yeah.
And then that's Man U Southampton, which is actually a match that I'm very excited about. And I'm planning to play Nathan Redmond too, even though I'm a little nervous about, you know, how they'd actually look in this match, but yeah, and then the question is just whether you think Ibra's your guy, you know, and I think right now, if just with no personal feelings aside, I think that keeping the armband on Aguero is the way to go with Ibra as the vice captain. But I think you can certainly make a compelling argument for Ibrahimovic too. And then we got a bunch of fixtures on Saturday. There aren't a lot of Leicester Arsenal, I guess, is the one standout fixture. That's the evening match on Saturday, or 12:30 match here in the US.
Yeah, I agree. I think like Burnley Liverpool could be really fun. Just from a pure watch.
From pure watch.
I don't think you guys had a pure watch last week. Yeah,
Trevor, it's on. It's this week's pure watch.
Yeah, there you go. You hear that, Brandon? You know,
to be honest, it's not a true pure watch though. Because
true. Yeah, because that's all fantasy. Yeah,
everyone's gonna have after that performance. That's funny. Everyone's going to have a Liverpool
hashtag
player.
PL.
All right, well, that's it. And Trevor, thank you for being on.
No, yeah, thanks. I had a blast. And Brandon, you're going to have to take this seat back for me.
That's exactly right. Yeah, we'll see who's on the next week's podcast. Yeah. Just before we go, you can subscribe to the podcast on iTunes. You can find us on SoundCloud and subscribe to us on Stitcher, as well as a million other podcast apps. You can follow us on Twitter. We're at Hail Cheaters on Twitter, twitter.com/Hail Cheaters, another way to find us. Facebook.com/AlwaysCheating. You can also just search Always Cheating. And you can email us at alwayscheating@gmail.com. And Trevor, that's it.
All right. Awesome, Josh. Poku forever.
Yeah. Hail Cheaters. Talk to you soon. Thanks for being on again.
Yeah. Appreciate it. It was great.